It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Build Forward Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good summer Friday. The last one in June as we are heading into July, and I am declaring the Mets losing streak and this losing stretch over as they bounce back and win the last two against the Atlanta Braves. Their most impressive victory being last night a shutout when, of course, they get hit with yet another injury to their pitching staff as Griffin Canning goes down with an Achilles injury. And yes, it's going to be tough to figure out the rotation. There's a ton of injuries, but I really do believe that they will work through that and this stretch will turn into maybe a bit of what we saw in April and May as opposed to what we saw in most of June. But here we go again with another injury, another Achilles injury. And that was all the rage on social media last night. Why is this happening? Why are there so many Achilles snapping? Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. And by the way, Al Gaylord Perry played, I think, 22 years for 8 different teams. Just so you know, okay?
Yeah, so I was saying, why does he get a Giants statue?
Because he was there for 10 years.
That's also in San Francisco. They love their Gaylords there.
Got it. That makes more sense.
Okay. Anyway, watching right out of the gate, man, we don't even wait.
You guys were looking for an answer. Okay. I figured that was better than any other.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I was like, wow, okay, it's 6:02. Let's go. Hey, it's a feel-good Friday. Why not, right?
Yeah.
Especially after a shutout win for the Mets. And the one thing I will say, number one, stop posting to me on X that I am the reason why all these Met pitchers are getting hurt. Because the last time we had a conversation about Met pitchers, a caller called in and said, I don't want Manaea. I don't want Montez. I want the guys that we have right now. They're doing such a great job. What are we going to do when all these pitchers come back? And I said, baseball has a way of just kind of straightening itself out. And things are going to happen. So it is not my fault that I pointed out the obvious when it comes to injuries when other guys are coming back. The problem is now they may be short of guys coming back to replace the guys that are now all on the injured list. And yeah, it does look like Griffin Canning is going to be out for the rest of the year. And that's really unfortunate because I felt like he was in the midst of a bounce back type of season. He's been a good arm. He's been a good player. He's kind of gotten his career back on track. And all of a sudden, this weird thing happens. And by the way, he's wearing a 3/4 spike. Okay, so we can, Nick Van Exel can look at that and maybe say that
yeah.
Maybe a high top would have helped. I don't know. But this was just a really weird deal. And look, these athletes nowadays, and because other people are posting at me, like, we didn't see these injuries way back when. And this Achilles injury is becoming just a real pain in the neck for a lot of people and a lot of teams. I just think these athletes nowadays, for the most part, are wound really, really tight. They really are. They don't have a lot of body fat. I think back in my era, you know, guys were in shape, but you know, we had a little girth to us, and we weren't nearly as tight as these athletes are. And there's no really way to explain this because this is not on AstroTurf. This is a pitcher, you know, misstepping off the mound. And, you know, it's not the basketball court because they're wearing low sneakers. No, it's just a matter of, like, these athletes in this day and age are supremely conditioned for the most part. Not all. Like, Luka Doncic, this is not happening to. You know, Mekhi Becton, this is not happening to. Now, they may have other injuries, and they may be out of breath come the fourth quarter if they don't get themselves straightened out. But this is just a really unfortunate thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, and this is a weird one. Obviously, we don't see it so much in baseball. It's similar to what we've seen in other sports because he is doing a quick movement to try to go somewhere in a non-contact injury, and it snaps. You know, so I did some AI Googling about the rise in Achilles injuries and seeing, like, is it just because we're perceiving it that way, or is it actually happening? Because
happening?
Yeah, but like back at the, like, so Kobe tore his Achilles back in the day. Obviously,
tore his Achilles,
right? And then you had
Benny Testaverde tore his Achilles.
So, like, this is what I'm saying. So, oh. like you're making the point. Are we just like are we more in tune to it now? And I didn't really get a great answer from AI, but it does say, while it's difficult to definitively say if there are more Achilles injuries, without specific data, reports indicate a potential increase in Achilles tendon ruptures, particularly in certain sports. And the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, noted a significant rise in NFL Achilles tendon ruptures after the 2011 lockout. So
I don't know if it, now, when it comes to like MetLife Stadium and the injuries over there, it, you know, to me, it may be the shoes that the players are wearing.
Well, that's exactly what I got when I was on the field for that game doing my one sideline reporting job when you and Jerry and Phil were up in the booth. That's exactly what I heard from the equipment staff because I was asking about it. And the Philadelphia Eagles equipment staff actually changed the length of the spikes that they normally use on turf to something shorter for MetLife's turf because it grabs more than others. So it's a combination of both, the shoes, the grabbing, and the turf.
At least the professional soccer players don't have to worry about
that.
Yeah,
I know, as they put grass in for them, and then you got the Jets and the Giants and every other NFL team popping all sorts of knees and Achilles.
You know what other team went to grass this offseason in a multi-million-dollar changeover? Was the University of North Carolina football team.
Bill Belichick?
Yeah, Bill Belichick and Mike Lombardi said, hey, we got to restore the history of the great football programs here at, what's the name of that stadium? I forget the name of that stadium. It was a beautiful stadium. It was out in the woods.
Just Google it.
All right, I will. I'm drinking my coffee right now. Why don't you Google? Why don't you do something?
On it.
Keenan something stadium, I think it used to be. Keenan something, I think.
By the way, speaking of doing something, Al, you never sent me a show sheet this morning. I meant to tell you that. We were talking poop cruise. I did not get a show sheet from you this morning.
Very strange.
Unless my email is screwed up, but I did not get it. I checked several times.
He did send it out. I didn't see if you were on it.
Maybe he meant to take Jerry off and took me off instead, because Jerry's not here today. I did not get a show sheet today.
So anyway, yeah, North Carolina ripped up their football stadium and put grass down.
Yeah, and obviously the players love grass. Every single player loves grass in the NFL.
I'll tell you that. Yeah, I can confirm that.
Yeah.
Because I played on, you know, the stuff that I played on, Riverfront, Three River Stadium, the Vet, Old Giant Stadium. I mean, they're some of the worst fields that you could ever possibly play on. And maybe the most enjoyable field that we played on, believe it or not, that I played on anyway, that I liked playing, was Cleveland, this old municipal stadium.
Mm.
And it had the baseball diamond going through it.
Yeah.
And it was a sloppy mess late in the season. But I'd much rather play on that than turf.
Yeah, so
back in those days.
So, like, the field has, or the court has really nothing to do with it in baseball or basketball. Definitely in football. And also, the Mayo Clinic said that overuse or insufficient rest between activities can contribute to Achilles tendonitis, which can lead to ruptures. So that, if you're looking for one answer, wound tight, I like that one as a reason. And also the fact that these guys train more than they've ever trained.
Yes.
And also the nature of the game in the NBA is so much more up and down,
it feels
flying around.
Right. Yeah, yeah. And when people are saying that, you know, Magic, Bird, Will Chamberlain, you know, I don't remember. They all have suffered some injuries in some capacity, but I don't remember Achilles during that era, you know, when Patrick Ewing was here in the 90s. I don't remember a rash of Achilles. You know, there were some ACLs. There were some, there's always twisted ankles in the NBA. It's just the way it goes. You know, the other thing, too, is it never really happens in hockey either.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand why that is, you know, and there's an array of injuries that happen to the hockey players. But
does
it
happen a lot in soccer? Like MLS?
That's a good question.
Can you Google that for us?
I would not
know. Good job,
know.
Al. So Friday morning, I want to see if Al's on it today.
Yeah. Well, he's always in a good mood on Fridays. On Mondays, he comes in miserable, and then on Fridays, he comes in happy. I mean, he's very predictable. It's almost like, you know, when you look up at the sky and you're like, it looks like rain. You know, that's what I could see Al on his
Monday
face.
Morning. That's,
you know,
Monday morning.
It looks like he's pissed. It looks like he's happy.
Unless something crazy happened during the weekend and he gets to be the first guy to talk about it.
Yeah, but
well,
even
after
then.
McMonagle's been
even then. You know, I worked with a guy in Pittsburgh who got up from his couch and popped his Achilles just from standing up from the couch, and I've been deathly afraid of that happening to me ever since I heard that story.
And by the way, when you and I were playing Bethpage Black,
yeah,
and we were going up those hills.
I was thinking about it then, too.
I think about it. That's why I go up sideways.
Yeah.
Because two things. I do not want to injure my plantar fasciitis, which I hadn't had to deal with in the last 4 years.
From the good feet store.
That's right. And the other thing, too, is that's part of the whole process, making sure you have the right shoes and you have the right inserts into your shoes. But I will say that anytime I'm on, like, a golf course now, my age, walking up hills, I am terrified of just the Achilles going.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I'm not a big pickleball player.
Yeah, I've stopped doing that, too, because I'm afraid of getting hurt.
Man, I love pickleball, but I'm like, man.
I actually had fun playing it, but, I mean, it says it right here, too, in the whole AI thing. That's why you get, you know, like the JAG physical therapy that does commercials here. Dr. Gallucci, who does commercials here. They're talking about the pickleball injuries, because that's been a number one thing with so many people playing and injuring themselves. Here's another one. And I don't know if this actually is true or not, because popping my Achilles is always on my mind.
Yes. Well, now why not? It's top of everybody's mind in sports.
Do you think this is so stupid?
Okay.
But I think about this. Do you think that the constant like right foot motion that
I'm using
when I'm driving is wearing it out?
I wouldn't doubt it. If something does happen, I would not doubt it. And I know it's really hard to use cruise control when you're on the LIE because it's stop and go.
Oh, well, in the morning, occasionally I can use it. On the way home, never. But, yeah, I think about that. And I've been, you know, back in the seat a little bit. And then after Griffin Canning's watching that again after the NBA playoffs, it's all I'm thinking about is how I'm going to be breaking and then the Achilles is going to pop.
There's nothing worse than coming back from out east, driving 2.5 hours. Like, for me, it's like my... It's the outside of my calf that is like hurting, and I'm like, God damn it!
Yeah, a little sciatica too sometimes. Running down 100%. Oh man, we sound old today, but that's fine because a lot of people are experiencing the same things in their cars. So yeah, tough for Griffin Canning, tough for the Mets. It was another one of those reclamation projects that David Stearns had gotten mostly right, even though Griffin Canning had some struggles, but. It was really good to see in a spot where the Mets didn't think they were going to have to use their bullpen as much as they did, that everybody was phenomenal out of the pen, and they end up shutting out the Braves. And Pete Alonso, when he goes, this offense goes. There's no doubt about it. And same thing with Lindor. Soto obviously was the only guy hitting when they were losing. But, man, if you get those guys or two out of those three guys going at the same time, they're going to be a hell of a lot better. And it was only Soto until, like, the last couple nights.
Yeah, this game should have been even worse than it was. I mean, in terms of offensive output, they're still not getting much from the bottom of the lineup. There are guys all over the base paths yesterday. But yesterday's hero for me was Austin Warren.
Yeah, and it was...
who is this guy now? Where'd he come from?
Yeah, I know. And it was his first win in a couple of years that he had, so... Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, wherever you can find him at this point, we're not quite in the dog days, but we are reaching them, and you're going to get some unlikely contributors, especially with all these injuries. And this is where that Sean Manaea injury, now, Montas came back, and he was very good in his first start. That is a good sign. But this Manaea setback thing is a tough pill to swallow. Now
loose bodies in his elbow, man.
With I believe it's just a singular loose body. That was 7 millimeters long, I think.
7 millimeters long, or like, what do you think? It's like an inchworm or something, or do you think it's like a round pebble?
It's a good question. I don't know. I was thinking long.
But I was thinking round.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably round. But yeah, that's a tough one now with another injury. So if he was coming back and Montas was coming back, like, all right, perfect. But now, who knows? And you've predicted that we won't see Sean Manaea at all.
And look, I don't get any great joy out of this. I'm just trying to keep Met fans up to date on the latest and, you know, the injury aspect and realize that this is a long baseball season, that this is going to happen to every single team. And somewhere along the line, you just got to dig in and find out a way to win. To me, Austin Warren was like the epitome of that yesterday. Here goes down Griffin Canning. He's pitching a great game. Somebody get... up in the pen. Let's go with Austin. All right, Austin, you're up. And go out there and do what he did. That was, you know, that's a totally unexpected performance at that moment.
Yeah, and unfortunately...
And finally it happened for our team.
That's right, and unfortunately Dickie Lovelady is no longer around.
He may be back, you never know.
But he may be back.
I mean, the front office and David Stearns over there with these injuries and trying to bolster the bottom of the lineup and looking at trades, Jesus, it's got to be nonstop.
Yeah.
It always is nonstop. You never take anything for granted in any sport for that matter, unless, of course, you're the Knicks and you can take everything for granted, but... that front office has got to be churning and burning.
And there's really not much to say about the Knicks pick other than the fact that no matter who runs this organization, they are obsessed with French guys. They are obsessed with French guys.
Yeah, well, this French guy that we got now, they're probably going to stash him over somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Like I said, there's no point even talking about him. Because he's probably never going to make an impact, and if he does, great.
But his best buddy is on the Knicks, Dottier.
Oh, yeah. So there you go.
That's a little bit of a, when he finally gets here. I think he's going to play in the summer league.
Yeah, usually those guys do, like you saw Tyler Kolek do it last year. But, I mean...
Yeah, but you know what? If you're the Knicks front office, you're saying, hey, we got all these young guys on the team. We got to develop these guys. They got to be part. They have to. Be part of the rotation unless they're going to make a trade. That would be to me, like let's say they're going to sign Mike Brown as head coach. Let's just say that's the way they're going. Okay, you got to look at where Mike Brown has been over the last 3 to 4 years and whether or not there are players there that he really liked coaching that he could convince the Knicks front office that hey, if you want to get return on your investment, if you have assets that you think that you can trade that are going to make your team better, here are the players that I would target because I really do think that they could be great players for the Knicks. If, and again, this is a ginormous if in fact, that's the way the front office wants to go here. Like they have not sat still for 5 straight years.
No, they haven't. You know, when you think about the long history of French guys that were drafted.
Here we go.
Frederick Weiss to Frank Ntilikina.
Hey, Eddie, get Boomer's French.
No, that's not what it was. No, it wasn't that. You were wrong.
Okay.
You don't have the instincts like I have. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Got a lot of things better than me, but the instincts are off when it comes to stuff like this. I don't know if he's going to be able to find it quick. Well, if not, CeeLo knows where it is, but the famous Frederick Weiss, when he was doing recording a liner for WFAN, and he thought the two sixes were L-O-L-O, and he said sports radio Lolo. And you add that to him being a massive bust. It was.
Oh my God!
It was great.
But, Well, I mean, look.
Another French guy.
Just another French guy. Just what we need.
Well, he's from Paris, And
so what does that mean?
They
got Parisian basketball.
I don't know.
They're known for their wine and their cheese, aren't they?
It's just funny because the Knicks settled on another Frenchman project. That's what it says in the post.
I mean, like, I would be, I don't know, maybe they'll get this one right, but I would be like, hey, let's stay away from the French guys for a while. Let's go get a German guy.
Yes.
Let's go get a Serbian.
Yeah, right.
A Serbian, for God's sake.
You know, we went with a Latvian a couple, back with
Porzingis.
Yeah, well, I get a Serbian. What's another one of those countries over there that they come out of that...
Lithuania.
Yeah, Lithuania.
Get a Lithuanian.
Get me a Lithuanian.
Come on now.
That would be perfect. But it's not...
No, go back to France because we've had so much success with that.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, this is Freddy Weiss, and I love listening to Steve Sommers on the Fan Sports Radio. Lolo, WFAN, New York.
Oh, yeah! Feel good summer Friday. Thank you, Frederick Weiss, for that. He loves listening to Steve Sommers on Sports Radio Lolo, WFAN.
Man, we found that one in the vault. Good job, Eddie.
With assist from CeeLo?
No, I did not know where to find that one. That was all Eddie.
Wow, very good,
Eddie. I gave him a couple
Eddie.
Of, maybe ideas on where to look, but I don't think that helped. So I don't know where he found it, but he found it.
You know who got that drop? This is a little WFAN trivia question. Eddie knows the answer to this.
Like pulled it and put it in the system?
No. Who was the person who went there and interviewed Frederick Weiss to get that drop?
Bob Uesler.
No.
This was draft night. When was this? Like, do you know where? Was it a Knicks practice?
I don't know that.
Mm. It had to be at a Knicks practice. It wouldn't have been at... It would have to be like the Knicks saying, yeah. Hey.
I will say that this man was working here, no longer works here, but worked here for a very long time.
Ray Martell.
That's a great guess. Worked here for a very long time, had many, many accomplishments here, and people knew him, but he was prouder of that than just about anything.
Mm. Wow.
Give me a year. What year are we talking here?
Lolo?
Yeah.
Let's see.
Frederick Weiss. Frederick Weiss.
Ballpark it.
I don't know.
All right.
So.
So he's no longer here, obviously.
How 99.
Long how long had he been here?
1999. Well, Frederick, I don't even
no,
think.
No, not Frederick Weiss, the guy that you're talking about.
Oh, he was a long, I mean, 20 years, maybe more.
Ooh, I should know this.
And he was more proud of this than anything else?
Well, he used to say that, joking, but.
Okay.
Ed Coleman?
Sweeney Murdy!
There you go.
Sweeney Murdy.
Oh, Eddie. Sweeney. Yeah.
Sweetabas, our guy. I miss Sweeney.
Of course.
He was, what a great guy Sweeney Murdy is.
100%.
I was going to say was, but he's still living. Is.
Working for MLB, right?
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, Sweeney, because he was like so into radio, still is, but like he said when he got that, he knew he had gold for summers and like basically sprinted back to the studio to get it in. All right, CeeLo, what's happening over there?
All right, let's start with the bad. Get that out of the way as things did take an ominous turn in the third inning last night at Citi Field.
Lindor charges, throws on the run to first in time with a second out, and Griffin Canning is on his back by the mound. What happened here?
What happened there, Sal? Oh, jeez.
I had that in before you just brought up Summers and Frederick Weiss, so that kind of worked out nice. Keith Radd and Steve Summers.
Man, I thought he twisted his ankle. He bounced. For some reason, he bounced. And it looked like he had twisted his ankle, but I guess, well, we all saw it. We know what it looks like.
Yeah. Well, he went to plant that left leg and push off of it. Like a wide receiver getting off the line.
But he was just like, he had thrown the pitch. He saw the ball past him. He wasn't in the way of anything.
No.
He was just trying to, I guess, do his natural follow through, right?
Or, no, I don't know. It looked like he was going to push off and head towards the third base side. You could understand it if he was like trying to break to cover first. Yeah, I don't know where he was going, but it obviously went poorly for him.
That sucks.
I would love to know, and I don't know if he'll talk about this, but did this completely come out of nowhere? Did he feel any sort of calf issue, or is this just like he felt great and all of a sudden, bang, that one misstep, it's over? Like, yeah. It's still fascinating to me how these things happen.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll at least attempt to find out in the coming days. Carlos Mendoza did confirm that they assume it's an Achilles injury. They're going to wait for the MRI to confirm. But after that sobering moment, the Mets did take care of business to earn a split of their four-game series with the Braves.
Pitch. Swinging a floater towards short. Over the leap of Allen into center field. This will score two. Soto is in. Alonso right behind him. Jeff McNeil adds a pair. And the Mets score two in the seventh inning to take a 4-0 lead.
That is Keith Radd. Again, Odyssey Mets Radio insurance provided there by McNeil in the seventh. And the Mets finished off a 4-0 win over Atlanta thanks to 6 1/3 innings of yeoman's work from the combination of Austin Warren, Daniel Nunez, Ryan Stanek, and Edwin Diaz. And he had Alonso three hits, including an RBI. Jeez, I've got MRI in my mind with Griffin Canning. Hopefully not an MRI for Pete. That would be unfortunate. He had his 23rd double of the season already on top of all the home runs, these hits, a lot of extra base hits for Pete here in the first half. He was also a pregame guest of Evan and Tiki here on The Fan as they did their show live from Citi Field. They covered a lot of ground. And before we get to the lineup stuff, here was Pete on this bounce back season he's putting together, building off the success he had last October.
I think the biggest thing I'm really the most stoked about is just the consistency. And this is, for me, something that I really worked hard on in the offseason.
And then they got on the topic of slumps during the season, even the short-lived ones like a week or two where you're just not getting the results. And Pete came prepared with a comparison or an analogy tailored specifically to the other pro athlete that was in his presence yesterday.
It's actually funny because when I'm like, man, Tiki's going to be on the show. Sick. So if I had to explain, like, 2 weeks of games, so that's 14 games, that's equivalent to one NFL game.
Right.
Which is, if you put that into perspective, it's like,
it's a lot of baseball.
It's an interesting point when you think of it that way. I like that.
I just love, he's like, oh, Tiki's on the show? Sick.
Sick. Yeah.
Sick. He's such a goofball, but he's great. We love him.
So we live and die with these baseball games, series to series, but it is a very long season, as
Slump
we know.
Buster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three hits, including an MRI again.
Jeez.
An RBI and a double is a slump buster for Pete.
I'm picking up, CeeLo.
Yeah.
Jesus.
All right, well, you guys covered Lou Gowers' lineup construction idea on yesterday's show. I know Jerry played the audio.
Loogie!
Spacing guys out, so Alonso leading off, Soto
Did
four.
Did they ask him about this?
Oh, yeah. Lindor seventh, Nimmo ninth, some version of that. So
you gotta roll your eyes if you are Tiki and Pete, you gotta look at each other and just go, here we go.
All right, well,
we're going into NARP territory.
They present Pete with it. Now, I didn't hear their reaction the day prior, but Tommy, I think, references it in the clip. He felt like they kind of gave some credence to the idea on the show in here on what would that have been Wednesday. But as they were setting Alonso up with it, they were like, this is a dumb idea, worst idea ever. So Tommy then tried to save it.
You just said you let off before, and this isn't knocking anybody. I'm positive, Tommy. It's just about spreading out. It's not knocking anyone. It's just about seeking a problem and finding a solution.
It sounded different when he was...
I'm an idea
Pete
man.
Pete, you're allowed to punch him if you want.
I thrive on enthusiasm, Pete. Come on. He's speechless. Is that a good thing?
No.
And then as Pete attempted to collect his thoughts and provide a reaction, here was how it finished off.
I have no words.
No words?
No words.
It's that dumb.
That's never been suggested, ever.
Maybe just take a little time. Can you pass it along to Mendy for me? Just say, this is idea. You spread the four best hitters out throughout the lineup. That way, every inning, you have one of your best hitters.
It's not going to work,
Tom. You get to lead off.
You got to give this one up. You got to pass this one out.
Just give him a time to think.
No.
No.
Yeah, hard no.
Hard no.
Hard no.
Yeah, he wasn't having it.
That was funny.
Yeah, they had a good time with it. So that was kind of fun. You also had Evan at the game last night with his family, but seemingly ignoring them, at least when the SNY cameras put him on the screen when he was buried in his scorebook wearing the Mets bucket hat in only a way that Evan could. It was like half flipped
I'm
up.
A loser.
Yeah, half flipped back. Flipped and down. Yeah, and it just like it matched his shirt. It was like amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's starting to look like if Jon Stewart and Lindsay Lohan had a baby together. Now think about that.
How did
that.
You come up with those two?
Because he really looks like Jon Stewart these days.
Okay.
And then he's got the red hair and the freckles.
All right.
I'll tell you what though, Lindsay Lohan's looking great these days.
I'm not saying she doesn't, just red hair.
Yeah, but
and freckles.
I'm saying that's an insult to Lindsay Lohan.
No, he's
she
got.
She provides the red and the freckles.
The red and the freckles. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
The rest
and,
is Jon Stewart.
And the boobs. I know I'm one to talk. I'm a man who possesses moobs as well, but Evan's got them too.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of that going on around
man.
Here.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're supple.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's the business we've chosen, right?
Do we have any? We have a photo of what Evan looks like.
Yeah, the Mets put it out.
I should have alerted TV.
Yeah, that would be something that you should do.
Well, you know,
let's go. Step it up.
First hour running in here. We're looking for Frederick Weiss in the archives.
Well, yeah, you didn't find it, so let's get our head out of our. You know what? Let's go.
All right.
Yeah, if you just
let's tighten things up around here. Yeah.
The Mets quote tweeted the Evan and Tiki page that had it out there.
God, they post a lot of stuff. There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there he is, right there, Evan Roberts.
Oh my God. He looks like Sign Guy. Remember Sign Guy?
Of course.
It looks like it wants to be a fedora, but also it's like a cross between a fedora and a bucket hat.
Oh, I saw all the bucket hats last night, and it's, you know, obviously you can turn it inside out, and it's got the gray on the other side.
But did you see anyone wearing it the way Evan was?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's probably 35,000 fans there, so there's...
I don't know.
Eventually, somebody around there would be wearing it like him. And I mean, he just looks like he should be Sign Guy now.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Sign Guy was awesome back in the 60s, by the way, at Shea Stadium.
All right. A little before my time, but I'll take your word for it.
Yep.
So we got all that. I also will just play this real quick because it's just like a out of context drop, essentially.
Yeah, CBS Sports Network has it for our TV viewers.
Boy. Whoa.
It does match the shirt. You're right about that. pinstripe, sort of. Well, the horizontal pinstripe shirt.
Like, that's him trying to look nice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the collared shirt.
Yeah, the collared shirt and the jeans and everything. Like,
no,
yeah,
no beard.
Yeah, that's him. Like, I got to go to Shea Stadium and I got to look nice. I mean,
and
Shea
I gotta
Stadium,
get a
Jesus
bucket
Christ.
Hat, and I got to get a bucket hat from Citi Field.
Right, Citi Field. I'm going there. I'm interviewing Pete Alonso. I'm going to dress up today. And this is what we've got.
And I got to get a bucket hat. I just got to get one. I got to be one of the first 18,000 people.
Oh, I'm...
Well, it's only for kids.
He stole it from his son.
I like baseball. I like baseball. You like baseball? I love baseball.
So I got to get to the bottom
God
of this.
God bless him. You know what? Because that's authentic.
Indeed.
100% right. Authentic.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the scorebook.
And he was... yes.
Furiously writing in there. If you saw the video component of this on SNY, he was
doesn't
all
look like
about
he's there
that.
With anybody.
He's not pictured in that photo. I believe his wife and one of his sons was. It looked like there might have been a seat in between them. Maybe that's where his son was going to be sitting. But he was kind of floating around a little bit. So it looked like he Could was be. There with some version.
You
of
take
the
your
family
boys to games. They float around.
Maybe not like outside of our row, but they don't sit. No,
okay.
They're constantly.
Up and around.
There's always movement. There's no sitting or sitting still, even at home. Basically,
yeah, well, that's good. That's what you want.
At night, when you finally shut the lights off and force them to close their eyes and go to sleep, that's when they stop.
But by the way, so what? You two sons, right?
Yeah.
Did they share a room?
No, I mean occasionally if they want to, like, you know, bunk up together for the night. But no, they have separate rooms.
They do. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I could just imagine if you had them in the same room, there's no way they're going to bed.
No.
Right? I mean, they would just be tormenting
they're
9 each other.
And 6, and getting them to bed before 9:30 is a struggle, which for kids that age is, a little late.
Do they want to be up playing, video games, or they want to be watching ball games?
Kind of neither. They like to play ball games in the house.
They do.
Last night, my 9-year-old full-on kicked a soccer ball and knocked a nice large picture frame off a shelf, and it shattered everywhere, so we were vacuuming up glass last night.
About you know what? That is awesome.
Yeah.
I great. Hope they continue to do that.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's what the kids, that's what boys, I can't wait until Sydney's kids do this.
Yeah, not in your home, right now, not in your home,
we got,
though.
We got princess dresses, and then we got little Allie who's knocking everything over, and like she's a little devious one,
right? Oh, yeah.
But, I can't wait until the boys get a little bit older. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah? In your house?
Not in my house,
well, that's
in their
the
house.
Yeah, that's the beauty of being a grandfather.
Yes.
Boom, pop. It's not your problem. You send them home back to the parents at the end of the night, and they deal with all that crap.
100%.
Yeah. All right, Mets go to Pittsburgh tonight. It's a 6:40 first pitch. Odyssey Mets Radio, David Peterson and Mitch Keller. You know, we talk about Paul Skeens not getting any run support in Pittsburgh. He has, like, no wins. So Mitch Keller's, his ERA is 4.02. That's not terrible. Want to take a guess at his record?
He's got to have a lot of wins the way you're setting this up.
No.
Oh.
He's 1-10.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say
mean,
that.
4.02 is not horrible. Yeah, he's 1-10, so they don't score for anybody there in Pittsburgh. So we'll see how that works out as Mark Vientos is scheduled to come off the IL and get himself back into the lineup. The Yankees had the evening off. They begin a series at home against the A's, and you got Will Warren and Mitch Spence with pregame coverage at 6:25. Here on The Fan, just real quick, former Ravens kicker Justin Tucker suspended the first 10 weeks of the upcoming NFL regular season as
for
they found
be
him.
Playing for nobody.
Yeah.
Correct, but he can serve the suspension even as a free agent. And then once it's up and those.
Didn't the Jets sign another kicker? Didn't they sign that Rodrigo Blankenship?
Did they?
I'm not sure.
Oh,
I thought maybe that. He did. I'm not sure.
So they got
the Giants who got thicker, the kicker,
thicker,
right?
The kicker.
Was that the Jets? I thought the Giants got thicker.
Was it? Jets,
so the
right?
Jets got thicker, the kicker. The Jets got thicker.
And they got
the
Blankenship. If they got Blankenship too, you got thicker, the kicker, and then Blankenship with his sport goggles. So it'd be an interesting kicking competition there.
I don't know.
You might have dreamt that. You dreaming about kickers these days?
I don't want to tell you what I was dreaming about last night because it forced me to wake up.
That could be good or bad.
It was not great.
Was it Rangers related?
No, it wasn't Rangers related.
I wouldn't even
related.
Delve into this because it's going to be some horrible scenario of New York City something. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
it's going
to
be as deep and
I gotcha.
The fault of the city council. And next thing you know, we're in this quagmire I can't get out of.
Quagmire? Nice.
Is that it, CeeLo?
I'm looking to see on this Blankenship.
No,
there.
I don't
no.
think. No, okay.
So maybe you dreamt about
maybe
that
dreamt
before
about
whatever woke you up.
I don't know.
There you go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So all the eyes in the entertainment world are on Venice for the Bezos wedding. And one of your guys, Tony Gonzalez, is there.
Yeah, I think he and Lauren Sanchez have a kid together.
They do. And that's an interesting one.
That's a great one. They're very good friends. They're happy.
Do you think that if it wasn't Jeff Bezos and it wasn't an extravagant wedding where you're in Venice and it's a billionaire and it's probably one of the cooler things that you're going to do in your calendar year, that Tony Gonzalez would be going to his ex's wedding?
You know, the thing is, I think Tony remarried. When I work with Tony at the NFL Today, I don't think that he and Lauren were together at that time.
Okay.
And I think that they share in common a child, and that they had a amicable breakup, I think.
Well, that's good. You don't see a lot of those.
So what I remember from that time with Tony was he was gracious. He was great. I met his mom. He was fun to work with. I think he only worked with us for 1 year, though, and then he went to Fox because he missed – I think he hated traveling from L.A. to New York every week.
Yeah, I mean, I just – and maybe it's –
That's how Phil Simms got on the show.
That's right. Now, it's probably because of my cynicism, but I think, like, okay, it's Tony Gonzalez, it's a celebrity, it's Bezos' wedding, but this was a guy in my friend circle.
Yes.
He'd never go to, even if it was an amicable breakup, he'd never go to his ex's wedding.
I don't know what the issues were with Tony and Lauren, whatever they were, and...
Forget about that, just the details, and I'm glad that it's amicable.
Let's say he
wants to go to the Venice for
a
wedding.
Let's say there's, like, some sort of... usually a fight over the kids, or... You know, somebody's got to pay more money than the other. Whatever that argument usually is, I don't think that argument ever took place. But then again, I don't know when Lauren started dating Jeff Bezos. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy.
Like, I wasn't down on all that stuff. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I wasn't down on it either. I just find it fascinating, like the celebrity versus the everyday person going to their ex's wedding. I just would have never imagined.
I think they definitely have a very good relationship, and good for them.
Yeah, good for them is correct. But so nobody knows where they're going because they don't want the paparazzi or anybody around. So they arrived at one station, I guess, in Venice, and then. There's just cars that take them to the next places. They have no idea, the guests, where they're going. It's top secret.
You're
going
to tell me that one of those drivers of one of those cars isn't getting some...
You know what? Great minds think alike.
Yeah.
That's what I was going. If I were one of those drivers... Now, you got to remember, it's Bezos. So Bezos is probably paying them really well to not squawk. But there's got to be a ton of drivers. You probably could never figure out which one did it. You know, you go to a TMZ and be like, hey... I'll tell you exactly where we're going for $250,000. And then they'll, you know, give it to them in an envelope and cash somewhere at the Vatican or something.
I mean, I'm thinking it's got to be like Lake Como, or it's got to be, it's probably too far away from Capri. It's got to be one of these, maybe in Tuscany somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's...
they're all going to get on a yacht.
That could be it, too. But it's going to be as extravagant as possible. Maybe they'll go up into space.
It's not going to be nearly as extravagant as that Indian wedding that lasted like 6 months and $600 million.
I don't know that one.
Oh, you don't know that one?
A six-month, $600 million Indian wedding?
Yes.
I never heard about that. $600 million Indian wedding?
I'm pretty sure it was $600 million and it lasted like 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just stupid. The other thing, I have to give Maggie Gray credit for this. You know, Jeff Bezos, I guess, sent Lauren Sanchez up into space with Gail King and Katy Perry and everybody.
Yeah.
Right before they were getting married.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't that seem a little risky? A little risky? So I'm watching one of these Barstool basketball things where they play 3-on-3, and it's just hilarious. Because they all stink. So this one guy, Dana Beers, feels something in his knee, and he decides, I'm not going to play anymore because I feel something in my knee. I'm getting married in 8 days, and I don't want to hurt myself any longer. Meanwhile, Jeff Bezos has sent his wife up to space month before they get married.
A fiance, yeah. Although I do think...
No, they already are married.
Yeah, they already are married, and this is just a celebration of it. By the way, the Ambani family's wedding celebration for Anant Ambani and... Radhika Merchant reportedly cost around $600 million, making it one of the most expensive wedding ever.
Only to the Esaias and Martin wedding.
Yeah, that was. I don't know if anybody took their shirts off at this wedding. The festivities included pre-wedding events and a multi-day celebration with a star-studded guest list and lavish decorations.
Wow. I bet you Bezos cost more than $600 million. I bet you it does.
No way.
They had to move part of it, Eddie, because of protest, you said?
They moved the location of it to...
Nobody knows where it is now. I was just saying, they like now just people get into cars and they go...
Nothing like a stinky, sweaty protest to ruin a wedding and a celebration.
Yeah, they threaten to like block streets and block the canals. Jesus God.
Canal blockers? Come on. Guys are just trying to have a wedding, for God's sakes.